Right now, it is time to bring in Jim Lynch. It's Cover Your Assets time. Jim is an independent voice on Wall Street, the economy, and politics. He brings well over 40 years of experience to those subjects and more. And it's time to stump the Lynch. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning. Good morning. I hope you all had a good last 4 or 5 days. I know the weather was a bit inclement. I guess we caught up on our reading and our Netflix.
You know, but
most importantly, we did. The sun rose again yesterday, and so we're back in business. I would like to say a few things, if I may, about Memorial Day. Memorial Day actually started May 1, 1865, in Charleston, South Carolina, which had been the scene of one of the many battles during the Civil War. And what occurred was really amazing and wonderful, and I hope you all reflect on it, not necessarily as we speak today, but in the coming hours and days. It seems that the 257 Union soldiers who were killed in this particular battle were just thrown into a common grave by the Confederates. The black slaves in the region took it upon themselves in an act of gratitude to take those Union soldiers out of the dirt and to give them a proper burial. They then celebrated by having a parade of 10,000 people, 200 some odd or more children. I think what is so important, it's a simple story, but it's an incredible story of humanity, but of this country, where we've been, where we've come from. These black people who had been enslaved were very grateful for those who freed them. So grateful that they went and dug up dead and probably pretty badly composed bodies and then buried them and then celebrated the whole thing. That's what our Memorial Day is really about, celebrating our people, our citizens, the people who make us work, our military, and those who support the military. I'm certain you join us all with gratitude to the veterans of today, but remembering the many veterans in the Second World War who are of Latino, black, all kinds of races and religion, who died, some very, very heroically. And if you catch, you can catch a lot of these stories on Facebook.
You know, it's interesting. Go ahead, Marshall. It's interesting you brought up the Civil War, because we had a bunch of ceremonies that were postponed or canceled yesterday because of the weather. One of the ceremonies that the town went through with was Sharon. They changed it a couple of times and finally changed it to 1 o'clock yesterday, and it was beautiful. But First Selectman Brent Colley went all the way back to the Civil War. Talking it in his remarks yesterday in Sharon. And what I said yesterday on the air in the morning when I was talking about the bad weather and the cold weather and the rainy weather was, don't tell me that this is bad weather. Just think about the people in our military service that have been out there defending us for hundreds of years. Through rain, sleet, snow, ice, you name it. So don't think you can let some bad weather or cold weather deter you from the fact that you should take time out on Memorial Day and thank all those veterans, those armed service members and alike that gave their lives in service to the country. And I also extend it out, even though to the ones that now guard us and serve us in the military. It's a real important day, and a day that people should pass down from generation to generation, so people understand the selflessness and the service to country by putting one's life in harm's way to defend our freedoms. It's an amazing day. It really is.
It really is. And I hope, in light of what's going on in our country currently, that we recall these very people who fought to defend our freedom and our democracy, because our democracy is basically being challenged now by those who choose to challenge it. They choose to challenge democracy so they can maintain power or get power. Well, we're not going to let them get away with it. So keep those good thoughts about maintaining our democracy in your head. And I had just one other little thing. We really are grateful to all of our veterans and very thankful and very hopeful going forward. But I think we should also remember some of the people who supported our veterans and supported the war effort and gave of their time and actually put themselves in danger. And I have one person in mind who might be familiar to some of you. His name is Jackie Miles, a comedian who went all over the place with people from show business entertaining the troops. And whenever you see a picture of him, he lights up the frame, and that's including with some beautiful people, men and women. So thanks to Marshall Miles' dad, who was an incredible citizen and great supporter of our efforts and of our men. And by the way, obviously this is where Marshall gets his show business inklings. It's in his blood.
Well, you know, the pictures that of my father, it's amazing. People who went on these USO tours from World War I-II right up to the present, I wanted to show the pictures because they went into war zones. They were in war zones. And they flew in and out of war zones, and they gave of their time to bring a little normalcy for a few minutes a day whenever they did their show. And we lost quite a few entertainers and famous people who did that. So I just thought it was an interesting perspective for people to see my dad on stage in front of the Marauders in World War II with Ann Sheridan and Ben Blue. It's an amazing thing. Pictures you can hold dear and memories to your heart. So thank you for that, Jim. But I have a question for you, and it relates to our economy. And for people right now who are living on a fixed income, the word inflation is in the background now, and it might come to the foreground. How do people on a fixed income prepare themselves, if possible at all, for inflation and inflation that might get out of control?
Well, you start with your expense side. And we have to remember that monitoring how we spend and how we earn is important to our overall well-being, physically, mentally, and so forth. So with your question as the lead, people who probably saved a lot during the pandemic, some because they got money from the government, others because they just felt... this is more than a rainy day. I think people should just basically continue the savings they were doing, particularly if the savings increased during this particular pandemic time, and then look to their assets and expenditures and see right now where they can cut back on spending, where it's really not necessary, where it's excessive, or where you haven't shopped properly for the right deal. Last week, Marshall touched on what he's doing technology-wise to improve his operation, lower his costs, and so forth. Therefore, I would suggest that you go out as soon as you can and research your phone, your TV, your media, all of the services that have become part of your everyday life, and you kind of think, oh, well, you know, I know it's expensive, but, you know, that's okay. Point is, you have to not make it okay and make it right with what is good for you. Example, you know, you have a television and a phone, and not everybody's under 30, and you're not using both 24/7. So there are ways to cut your expenses in that area. Other areas are, what is it exactly you need in your life to make you healthy and happy and sane, but which does not cost a lot of money? And this takes some thinking. This takes some writing a little diary for yourself in terms of how you spend your money. I would suggest that if you're having some difficulty, you basically create a diary where you enumerate your assets, your income, your expenses, and then evaluate it every 15 days. And do that for 3-4 months, and I'm certain you're going to come up with ways to, one, save money, and frankly, probably improve the performance you're getting from whatever services you're getting. And also, it'll give you an idea on possibly, well, you know, this guy in the office, he has some per diem work, and I didn't want to do it. It was a pain in the neck. Maybe I ought to take on that little extra job. It's not going to take that much time. It's going to put a few bucks in the bank. In terms of the savings, you have to have a plan. You know, it used to be 10% of your earnings, etc. Well, nowadays, it's really impossible to throw out those kind of numbers generally. Each person must evaluate their situation, and they must really be very hard on the numbers and say, well, I can save this. But the key is, I can save this, and I am saving this, are two different actions. So if you create a plan based on your diary, your budgeting, you're being honest with yourself about your expenses, and you come up with X amount of money, I don't care how little it is nor how much it is, you say, fine, done. That goes in to my savings bank, whatever you use to put your savings or your assets in, that goes in there. And if, for instance, you happen to have a fund, we'll say, a stock fund, and you're invested in it and you do one of these quarterlies or whatever ads, you might look at that, and maybe that's where you can create more assets and more long-term wealth. You absolutely, unequivocally, should not be dealing in speculative things in the market, in popular things in the market. That's a downer for two reasons. One, the risk on some of these things that are high-flying now is incredibly high, and someone who has a limited budget cannot afford them. It puts you back years, even if you lost a few thousand dollars. So I laid it out, frankly, that the whole thing is it's not hard. What's hard is the discipline, is the getting into it, which is why create a running diary for 3-5 months, check it out every 15 days, and be absolutely truthful with yourself. There are so many things that we just take for granted, and all we need it. I mean, you really don't need anything. The thing you really need is your health and the love of your family.
Now, You know, people in times of financial crisis when interest rates are low refinance their mortgage to save money on a monthly basis. Is it possible, is it possible or is it advisable for people that over the past year who have built up credit card debt? And most credit card debt, when you come right down to it, you're paying about anywhere from 16 to 20% interest. Is it wise to try to take the credit that you've built up in your local community and maybe say, okay, I'm going to go a year without using these credit cards, and at this time when you're going back to work and you're starting to make money, maybe take out a personal loan for 8-9%, and you're going to save anywhere from 7 to 8 to maybe 15 to 20% a year in savings. Is that a move that people should make, or is that not a good move?
That is the best thought I've heard in the couple of minutes I've been talking. And it's something we, all of us, talked about before the pandemic took over our mindset. Paying interest on a credit card is insane. It's absolutely insane. Why? Because it's quadruple your actual purchases. If you look at it over the period of time when you acquire something, it's the problem is the credit card business is an incredible business because they've made it so, so easy. And businesses are so, so obliging to take your credit card for a $12 hamburger or a little gift for the kid or something. You just have to discipline it. And here's the deal. The deal is Marshall set this up with a person on modest means, a limited income, a fixed income. You have to do something to eliminate the credit card. If you have to go to your best friend or your Uncle Sam, Uncle Jim, and say, okay, lend me this amount of money. I have to pay this down at 16%. I'll give you 3% on the money I borrow from you. There's an idea. You're still paying some interest, but you've cut the load dramatically. And we really have to step up to the plate in these times. We should know how difficult things are in the world. I mean, unfortunately, we see it too frequently, things that are quite upsetting. But we can deal with our own personal lives to bring a balance to it, to bring more peace into our lives. I mean, paying this credit card every month, after a while, people get a bit oblivious to what they're paying, and they really don't understand. It's criminal, the amount of money that they're paying out in interest on a credit card. It just doesn't make any sense.
It's just something that that I saw, I forget where I saw it, but it seems to make sense in the long run. But you have to have the stamina and the oomph to then not use your credit cards until things are brought down to a reasonable level. That's and there's always that danger out there. I know years ago I declared bankruptcy. I had owned two or three houses and. I bought them on a low interest rate, but that it was an interest rate back when interest rates could fluctuate. And the interest rate that I was paying went from like 7% to 22% and just wiped me out. But within about a month or so, I started getting flooded with all these applications for credit cards. People just have to understand and really think down. What you're paying back on credit cards for, like you said, doing things on a normal basis, like buying a hamburger, buying French fries, buying a soda, and stuff like that. There's not too much you can do to fight off inflation as a small person, but those are... Do you think we're going to go into an inflationary period? We have about 2 minutes left, Jim. Do you think that inflation is going to become a problem with us?
You know, it's interesting I brought back a memory which was, must be about, it's at least 10 years or more. And the reason I bring it up, because the thing has gotten worse, I'm certain. I was in, I think it was a Starbucks, picking up a coffee somewhere in Manhattan. And it must have been near a school because all these kids started popping in and getting their sweet drink or whatever they were getting. And one after another, they were whipping out this the credit card for a $3-5 purchase. I mean, you do that every day, and all of a sudden, if you, those kids probably just had an allowance from their parents, you're under the bus financially. You might not realize it, but you are. It's, you know, people go through things in life that require discipline, guts, courage, whatever. But the human being, the psyche, we've got it. We're a very powerful entity. And we just have to make our mind up. We're going to do this. You're going to have to look yourself in the mirror and say, I'm fed up, being fed up with the fact that my behavior is making me unhappy.
All right. Well, we're out of time, Jim.
Boy, Marshall, you really talk a lot. I'll tell you that much. I love you, my friend.
Jim.
You have a good week, and say hi to Pop. I'll see you.
All right, bye-bye. Take care. Jim Lynch and Cover Your Assets here on Robinhood Radio. You can find Jim on demand here at Robinhood Radio, robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Cover Your Assets with Jim Lynch.